Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Percent of evangelicals say they believe spiritual energy is located in mountains and trees. A similar number say they believe in astrology. And we see even higher figures among other Christian groups.
It sends a message to gay and lesbian Episcopalians that there are no barriers to them in our church. In our church, we're open and receptive to people.
The lights are beautiful. We decorate our homes. We sing songs. We play the game dreidel.
The world is waiting for a proper deal here. We don't have time, and we have only this one world, you know. If it goes, we're all done.
Every church seems to have one. Well, most churches have them. Some don't. Some have pastors, ministers, who are, for lack of a better word, self-made. I think about Bill Hybels at Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, Illinois, a church of no small influence in American evangelicalism and American Christianity, broadly defined. And Bill Hybels has no formal theological training. He depends almost entirely for his theological conclusions on an old college professor of his when he was going to Bible school. Some are highly trained. I mean, there are Lutherans among them. There are traditions, confessions in the Christian church that believe in training their ministers, their pastors, as strongly as they can. Old Testament, New Testament, original languages, theological languages, and then that theology in depth. What makes a pastor? We call them ministers. Do we really mean it when we call them ministers? That word means servants, those who serve. And in an age when the pastoral mindset is not service but leadership, one wonders whether we're headed in the right direction. We're going to talk about the vocation of minister for the first half hour of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Ralph Preuss will be our guest. Then, in the second half hour, Heath Trampy will join us. He's written a book called Extraordinary News for Ordinary People. We'll talk about biblical examples of how God uses not only ordinary people, he often uses under-ordinary people, those who are least qualified to do the jobs he gives them to do. Chuck Donovan will join us from the Heritage Foundation. In the second hour of the program, we'll talk about the passage today of a same-sex marriage bill by the City Council of Washington, D.C. The only people who can stop this are the mayor, who's promised to sign the bill, or the Congress of the United States, but they do not appear inclined to stop same-sex marriage in our nation's capital. We'll talk about online gay marriage. Some people frustrated with the fact that they have to fight state by state for legalizing gay marriage says, let's get around it and just do it online. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest, and then we'll go through the Golden Globe nominations with Brian Godawa, a regular guest and screenwriter in Southern California. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us @issuesetc. Pastor Ralph Preuss is pastor of First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, North Dakota, First Evangel Lutheran Church in Fertile, Minnesota, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, Minnesota. He's author of a paper titled Ministers, What is Their Job? Who is Their Boss? Why Do We Need Them? Pastor Preuss, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be here.
Well, what's being called for nowadays are not ministers, but leaders. Bold leadership, courageous leadership from our pastors, from our ministers in every church. We're told that the survival of the Christian church and each individual congregation depends on having leaders for the future. How do you evaluate that call?
Well, I don't know that the term minister and leader are necessarily opposed to each other, but it's really not going to help my parishioners if I am inspirational, if I have certain abilities. What's going to help my parishioners is if God forgives them their sins and gives them eternal life. And so my job as a pastor is primarily as a minister of Christ to administer what he gives me to administer. And that is the gospel that gives to sinners the forgiveness of their sins and the sacraments that save us and give us Christ. So I would argue that the office of the ministry, in order for it to benefit anyone, has to administer what Christ gives it, namely the gospel, the forgiveness of sins.
You know, this flies in the face and against the grain of all the conventional wisdom, Rolf. All the conventional wisdom says we need to revamp from the ground up the pastor's quote-unquote job description. We need to give him new duties to carry out. He needs to run the church more like a CEO. Not a lot of room there in those new job descriptions for what you're talking about, an administration of simple things like baptism, preaching, the Lord's Supper. Your thoughts?
Well, it's I think we're talking about two fundamentally different religions here. I mean, part of my job is to preach God's law so that the people can see their need for the gospel. But if we didn't need the gospel in our daily life, and if what we need, if you are already there, if the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh are not a problem, and we're already, is like once saved, always saved, and there's no possibility that we could be lost, then I would say that, well, fine, you wouldn't need to preach the gospel anymore. But if we believe that we're surrounded by spiritual enemies that are out to destroy us, then the pastor has to focus on preaching and teaching the gospel by which the Holy Spirit is going to keep us in the faith. So I would argue that to revamp that is to set aside the gospel and say that we really don't need to have it proclaimed anymore.
You say that part of the problem in the controversy over the ministry and what ministers are, what they do, who they answer to, is that we haven't approached it as a theological question. What do you mean?
Exactly. We approach it as a social issue. We look at what the people want. Let's look at the word ministry. Now, there's an old saying in a restaurant or some kind of a store, the customer is always right. The customer knows what he wants, and if you're going to serve the customer, you'd better give him what he wants or you're not going to do business with him. That's precisely wrong when it comes to the church, because the customer is always wrong, and God is always right. God defines it theologically. So he says what our need is. He sends his son to take away our sin. He establishes the office of the ministry and says, now I want you to fill this office with competent men who are going to preach the gospel. And then he calls his people to hear the preaching of the gospel so that they will be sustained in their faith. This is all theology, and this is presented in the Bible. And if we leave that aside and say, well, let's look at this the way we would a product that we're going to market, well, then you're going to end up with a completely different concept of the ministry.
All right, then let's ask and answer a few basic questions. What is the minister's job?
The minister's job is to preach the gospel and administer the sacraments of Christ.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah. It sounds simple. Now, that requires a lot of work. That means he's going to have to call on people. He's going to have to listen to what they have to say. He's going to have to study hard so that he can know what their troubles are and be able to apply God's word to them in their need. And he's going to have to know the word so that he isn't just mouthing off his own opinions. So it sounds very simple, but it does entail work and dedication on the part of the pastor.
Okay, that's just that basic definition that you have laid out there. You could call it a job description if you want to, I suppose, but would seem to exclude this popular notion that everyone, every Christian, is in some sense a pastor or a minister. Does it?
Yeah, I think it does, yeah. I mean, now, we can put it this way. The Word of God isn't confined to the pastors. God has given his Word to his whole church. And so, like, I'm a father and a grandfather. And so God, as a father, God gives me the duty to teach God's Word to my children. And any Christian should share the Word of God as he has opportunity with neighbor or loved ones, or just a casual stranger who's interested. But not everybody is called publicly to preach and teach and administer the sacraments. This is a vocation that is established specifically by God, by Christ himself, when he sent out the apostles to preach the gospel and administer the sacraments.
Pastor Rolfe, let's take a break here real quick. When we come back, I want to pick up right where you left off there. Pastor Rolfe Preuss is our guest. We're talking about the vocation of minister. It isn't something that we make up, and it isn't something that we invent or reinvent or redefine as time goes by or as we think the circumstances may demand. What we have before us in the office of the ministry is, in fact, nothing other than a divine institution. I mean, it stands to reason that if these things, the proclamation of the gospel, the baptism that Christ gave us to carry out, the administration of the Lord's Supper, the administration of Christ's forgiveness to sinners, if these are all divine commands and institution from Christ's hand himself, well then, if there is an office for those special things, it is also a divine institution. Stay tuned.
I can hear the whistle blowing.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300: Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia; Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas; Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri; Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California; Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas; Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri; Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas; Faith Lutheran, Arizona, Texas; and Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Historic liturgy. Cool. Liturgical dance. Not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning. Cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte. Not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com. You are my soul. Everybody wants to be the chosen one.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the vocation of minister. Pastor Rolf Preuss is our guest. He's author of a paper titled Ministers, What is Their Job? Who is Their Boss? And Why Do We Need Them? You'll find a copy of this paper at our website, issuesetc.org. Let's go to the phones and talk with Ann, who's listening in St. Louis. Hi, Ann.
Hi. A few years ago, you discussed the hammer of God, and I finally am reading it. And it so exemplifies what you're talking about. It really talks about three pastors who pretty much were always talking about themselves, and through various circumstances, they came around to preaching gospel rather than law. Just wonderful way to get really good clarity by Bo Gertz.
Thank you very much, Anne. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Your thoughts there, Rolf?
I remember a friend of mine gave me that book when I was in college. I think I was a junior in college, and I set it aside and read it several years later, and I thought, boy, I wish I'd read that earlier. Just a wonderful book. I'd recommend Hammer of God because it does tell you what a Lutheran minister really should be by giving you examples of men who were somewhat confused about what the office entailed. And so it's a good read.
Well, I remember reading it. It was required reading in the seminary. I read it, didn't appreciate it. Read it after being in the ministry for 2 years, greatly appreciated it after that. I guess if we've described what the job of the minister is, the next question that we naturally ask, even though it may or may not be appropriate, is who is the minister's boss?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I would appeal simply to the scriptures where the Apostle Paul says, that you should regard us as ministers of Christ, servants of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, it's required of a minister that he be found faithful. So now, that doesn't mean you're not a minister or servant of the church. You are. But you can't serve the church as their minister unless you take your orders from Christ and preach his word faithfully and carry out the office as he established it when he sent out the first ministers.
St. Paul seems to contrast this, at least in his own apostolic ministry, with being a pleaser of men or trying to please men. Am I reading him correctly there?
Well, absolutely, because all of us have the flesh, and we want our flesh flattered and stroked. We want to feel good about ourselves. And the minister who forgets who his boss is knows that he's going to get a lot of followers and a lot of personal, you know, affirmation if he plays to the carnal desires of his people. Whereas if he's faithful, he's going to have to preach things that they may not want to hear and that might be a little bit off-putting. But he's got to do it because that's what God called him to do.
Rolf, someone might be confused and say, but I don't understand. The congregation pays the pastor's paycheck. They're the ones who call him to be a pastor there. Aren't they in some sense his boss?
Well, let's see. They are in the sense that they can pay him or not pay him as they choose. I mean, that's just simple fact. However, the congregation itself, and this is what is wonderful about having a confessional Lutheran congregation, the congregation obligates itself as a congregation to the same thing that they obligate their pastor to do, and that is to be faithful in the preaching and teaching of God's Word according to the Scriptures and the Lutheran confessions. So the insofar as the congregation is the pastor's boss, it's their duty to require him to be obedient to Christ, who is the Lord of the church. So all of us are under Christ's authority. But then his authority is at at the very heart of it, it is an evangelical authority that gives us the forgiveness of our sins. So that's really what's at stake, to say that Christ is in charge here, because he's the one who has the authority to forgive sins. And he's doing it through the preaching and the administration of the sacraments of his ministers. So this is very serious what's happening here, and that's why we must keep Christ in charge and not try to wrest this office away from him.
Here's an email titled, "Who is in the office?" Emailer writes, "I have a question with regard to who holds the office, particularly with respect to vicars in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. If Christ's command to preach and teach is given to the office, by what authority are vicars preaching? If vicars can preach the gospel publicly, a job which belongs to the office, then why can they not also administer the sacrament of the altar and baptism as well?" Good question. Thank you very much. Rolf?
Well, I tell you what, we don't have enough time to get into all that. It's a good question. I would just simply give a short answer if I can. When the vicar preaches, the pastor himself is responsible for every word the vicar says. And we do want a man to become trained in doing the things that he'll need to do as a pastor. So I would put a vicar in kind of a in-between state. He's neither fish nor fowl. He's technically a layman, but he's in the process of becoming a pastor. And so we do permit them to preach under certain oversight of the pastor, and I think that that is appropriate.
Finally, I guess we need to ask that last question, which you say often goes unasked, and perhaps it's the most important question of all. Why do we need ministers?
Yeah, it's easy for us to say, well, I can read the Bible myself. But, Jesus himself established the preaching office. And God has always dealt with his people through the voice of a man. He has spoken through men. And he's called like the prophets of the Old Testament. And God saves the human race by becoming a man and obeying the law in our place and suffering for us. And now through men he wants to speak. So that's God's choice. And we need the ministers not because we need Pastor Smith or Pastor Jones, but we need that voice of God to come to us in our need. During Advent, we think a lot of John the Baptist. And what did he call himself when they said, "Are you Elijah or one of the prophets?" He says, "I am a voice." And that's what the pastor is. That's all he is. He is to be the voice where God speaks to the sinner to bring him the forgiveness of sins that Christ has won for him. If we need the forgiveness of sins, then we need the office of the ministry, because that's basically what the ministry is all about.
In all of this, Pastor Preuss, are you actually saying that pastors today don't answer to the majority of their voters' assembly or to the collective will of their district or their synod or to even to their ecclesiastical supervisors?
I'm saying that they answer to Christ. They answer to Christ the Savior. And it is before him that they stand, and it is to him that they must give an account. And I would also say this, that if they are answerable to Christ, then any child in the congregation should have the courage to be able to go up to the pastor, say, "Pastor, you said this. I don't understand. The Bible says this. Could you explain?" And place himself under the people as their servant. Because Jesus doesn't lord it over us. He gives his life for us. And the pastor should imitate the same attitude that Jesus showed when he humbled himself. So, yes, he's accountable to Christ. And if he sees it that way, then I think he's going to be a faithful pastor.
In the end, a pastor is going to encounter, because he bears the word this way, by Christ's promise, he is going to encounter opposition inside, outside the church, for the message he's been given to preach, the sacraments he's been given to administer. And if Jesus promises any indication, we are not talking about a calling, a vocation that necessarily is going to be easy or free from trouble. Talk a bit about that with only about a minute left here.
Well, I think of those wonderful words of Jesus, blessed are you. When men shall revile you and persecute you and utter all manner of evil against you falsely on my account. You think of the original apostles. 11 of the first 12 died violent deaths. And then you look at how pampered and spoiled we preachers are here in America. So what a privilege to preach the Word of God and to preach the gospel by which sinners are justified. So if we get clobbered now and then and have to pay a little bit of a price, my goodness, what's that compared to the joy of participating in what God is doing to save sinners? It's just a wonderful thing.
Pastor Rolf Preuss is pastor of First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, North Dakota, First of Onger Lutheran Church in Fertile, Minnesota, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, Minnesota. He's authored a paper that'll be at our website later tonight. Ministers, what is their job? Who is their boss? And why do we need them? Our website address, issuesetc.org. Pastor Preuss, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
When we come back, second half hour of the program, we're going to spend with Heath Trampe. He's written a book called Extraordinary News for Ordinary People. God has a modus operandi in Holy Scripture. It's all over the place. He chooses the ordinary, sometimes the underordinary, to accomplish solely by the power of his word, extraordinary things. As it occurs to me, it's probably what he does when he chooses pastors for his church as well. But we'll talk about those examples of how God uses ordinary people right after this. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The former health minister of the Netherlands says she made a big mistake. In 2001, she pushed through a bill legalizing euthanasia. Last year alone, thousands of people were legally killed by euthanasia. Now she says the government didn't first give enough attention to palliative care and support for the dying. She admitted they followed prevailing political correctness. Sadly, Pandora's box has already been opened and thousands killed. It'll be hard to reverse this grave injustice imposed on the Dutch people. The former health minister's public regret is especially important because the Netherlands has been held up as a model for those pushing euthanasia in other countries. But her clear message to them is, don't make the same mistake we did.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.